Isaiah chapter 9, and I want us to see a couple things from a verse of Scripture that will, in essence, summarize the story that you've just seen. I love the theme of this year's Christmas pageant or Christmas cantata, because this year we discussed the idea that not only was Christ born in a manger, and of course the whole world acknowledges that, but Christmas was only the beginning of the plan of God for the redemption of mankind, and ultimately Christmas led to Calvary. The whole purpose of Jesus coming was not just to be born into this world, was not merely to live a good example, which he certainly did. He is the sinless Son of God. But the purpose, the ultimate purpose in Christ's coming, was for him to die on Calvary's cross. The ultimate reason that that baby was born was for death. And when he died on the cross, he died as a sacrifice for our sin. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. In this Old Testament prophecy of Jesus Christ's life, in one verse in the Old Testament, in the voice of prophecy, we have encapsulated in miniature the life of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9, verse 6, the prophet said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Again, verse number 6, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." In that passage is a description, a summary, if you will, of the life of Jesus Christ. Of his birth, it says, "Unto us a child is born." In that simple phrase, we have foreshadowed some very important Bible doctrines, such as the virgin birth of Christ. You say, "Preacher, where is his virgin birth there mentioned?" You find later on in the same verse that Jesus himself is called the Mighty God. That baby that was born in Bethlehem's manger was no mere human being. Though 100% human, he is also 100% God. He is the Mighty God. That could only be accomplished by a virgin birth. There is no biological act that could take the majesty of God and clothe that in human flesh. But God came in the person of the angel Gabriel. The message of God came to Mary. And Gabriel explained to her that she would conceive, having never known a man, and that that holy thing which would be conceived in her would be conceived of the Holy Ghost, and he would be called the Son of God. "Unto us a child is born." That phrase foreshadows the virgin birth. It foreshadows his incarnation. The word incarnation means fleshment, when God Almighty took upon him human flesh. To look at the Jesus of the New Testament was to behold the Jehovah of the Old Testament in human flesh. Have you ever wondered about that? The Bible tells us that God loves the world. The Bible tells us that God is the Creator God, the Mighty God, the Transcendent God, but He loves His creation. And that transcendent God who loves His creation, even after mankind rebelled against Him, that transcendent God did not write us off. He did not divorce us or walk away from us. He did not turn His back upon us. And even in the depths of our sin, that transcendent God did not say, "I will have nothing to do with them." But rather, in the depths of rebellion and sin and evil of mankind, the plan of that transcendent God was to take upon Him the form of a man, was to become a man incarnate at Bethlehem's manger. The baby born was the Son of God and God the Son. In that act of incarnation, in that act of the virgin birth, in that act of miraculous Holy Spirit conception, God Almighty became human flesh for me, For unto us a child is born. His acclaim was foretold. Verse number 6 says he would be called Wonderful. And indeed, today he is. What could be more wonderful than God becoming flesh? He would be our Counselor, the God of all the Bible, the author of Scripture, come in human flesh to tell mankind how to live. The Gospels record the sermons of Jesus where he points man to himself. By the way, not to a church, not to a religious ritual, not to an organization, but Jesus always pointed men to himself. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is Wonderful. He is Counselor. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Jesus Christ, not merely the Son of God, but God the Son, come in human flesh. He is the Prince of Peace. Say, this world desperately needs peace today. We live on the brink of self-destruction. Someone said, Pastor, when will humanity finally be safe? That is described for us in verse number 7. When Jesus rules and reigns in this world, the Bible says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Thank God when the peace comes, that comes by the reigning of Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. And then the book of Hebrews, we find that he is the King of Kings. Spoken of here in Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says that the government shall be upon his shoulder, that he will reign and rule as king. In Hebrews 11, verses 4 through 8, God the Father calls God the Son the King, the Lord. And God the Father says of God the Son, Thy throne, O God, is from everlasting. Unto us a child is born. But more than a child, the very enfleshment of God. That was Bethlehem. That was Christmas. But he did not just come to be born. A moment ago I said he came to die. Isaiah 9 and verse 6 reports, unto us a child is born, Bethlehem. But it also reports, unto us a son is given. And that was Calvary's cross. Jesus born in Bethlehem's manger, the sinless Son of God and God the Son. Jesus given by God on Calvary's cross to die for our sins. A child born and a son given. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Did you catch it? That he gave his Son. A child was born and a son was given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The baby born in Bethlehem was born for the purpose of death. You say, preacher, why death? Why the cross? Why the bloodshed? Pardon me. Why the goriness of that image we have in our mind described in the Gospels of Christ's death? Why all of that? Because of my personal sin. Because of your personal sin. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this morning there's not a thing that you can do to clean up your act to be acceptable before God. Not a thing you can do. The Bible, in fact, tells us that all our righteous works are as filthy rags. There's not a person in this room, not this preacher, none of the choir members, none of the deacons, not a person in this room who in and of himself deserves to go to heaven. You can't live good enough to go to heaven. He said, well, preacher, I'm not the worst sinner in the world, okay? But you are still a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And your sins may not be as great in your eyes as someone else's, but one sin makes you a sinner. We are sinners by nature. We are sinners by choice. We have separated ourselves from God due to our sin. But that God in heaven, that transcendent God who created everything, did not turn his back on us. But he came incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem's manger. Watch this. And he in willing volition, died on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty for your sin and for mine. God is holy. God is just. No sin in this world is ever gotten away with. There will be nothing swept under the rug. Every wicked thought I've ever had, every wicked deed I've ever committed would have to be judged somehow. For God to be holy when all this world is wrapped up, the sin of every individual will somehow have to be paid. God said if they pay for it themselves, they'll pay for it in death and in the flames of hell for all eternity. But He loved us so much that that little baby was born in Bethlehem's manger. That His mother Mary, when she cradled that little baby, she cradled God incarnate. That little baby grew as a boy, was an exceptional child, a supernatural child. He never committed a sin. That little baby in His earthly ministry as He grew became a preacher of the gospel. That little baby, that Jesus who was born in Bethlehem's manger, the Messiah of God, came and gave the message. He pointed men not to a church, not to a religion, but to Himself. He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That little baby born in Bethlehem is Jesus of the Gospels, and He came to be Jesus of Calvary's cross. Because this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the only way to God is for you to personally come to Christ in saving faith. He died for you. In the story a moment ago, Hank came to the place where he personally trusted Christ. It wasn't the church he was going to or being baptized or being religious, but it was a moment in time when he bowed his knee to Jesus Christ and said, "Lord, I believe. Come into my life and save me." And the Bible tells us in Romans 10 and verse 13 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In our story, Hank made it personal. I wonder today about you. We all know at Christmas time a child is born. We've come to see today that on Calvary's cross a son is given. Is He your Savior? Do you personally know Him? Do you recall a time in life when you personally asked Jesus Christ to save you? Not the person next to you or maybe your parents or someone related to, but you personally. If I were to ask you individually, if I were to step down from here and ask you individually, have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you ever called upon Him and asked Him to be your Savior? What would be your answer? The invitation that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 11, is still good today. Jesus said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The only way to God is through Jesus Christ, and He invites you to come. If you're not saved this morning, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, or if there's a doubt about that, won't you settle that today? You can know Him as your Savior this very day. Every head bowed, please, and every eye closed. No one looking around, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In a moment, I'm going to pray. But before I do, I want to ask a question. And I don't want you today to think about the person sitting next to you or another family member. I want you only to think about yourself, because salvation is a very personal matter. Here's the question. And before I ask you to do anything, I want you to answer the question in your heart. Are you a Christian by personal faith in Christ? Let me phrase that another way. If you were to die today, are you absolutely certain you would go to heaven? Can you remember a point in time when you personally met Jesus Christ, when you asked Him to be your Savior, and you're absolutely definite about that because you've met Christ, the baby born in Bethlehem's manger, the Son given on Calvary's cross? By personal faith, you have trusted Him, you know it, and there is no question in your mind. If that describes you this morning, no one's looking around, would you raise your hand? You say, "Preacher, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved." Many, many hands. God bless you. You may put them down. I wonder if there aren't several, though, and there were some folks who could not raise their hand. I wonder if there are several who would say, "Pastor, I have never made it personal." Oh, you believe that Christ was born. We all believe that. You believe that Christ died, but you'd say, "Preacher, I've never really made it personal, and I'd like you to pray for me. That's a decision I have yet to make, and I want you to pray for me." Now, I won't embarrass you in any way. I'm not going to call you out in any way, but I do want to pray in just a moment. If you'd say, "Preacher, include me in your prayer," would you lift up your hand anywhere in the auditorium? Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else in the auditorium? Anyone else? Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, take your word this morning. Help us, Lord, to understand how important it is that we make salvation personal. Lord, for those who mentally know that Christ was born and that He died, but have not yet met Him in personal saving faith, may this be that morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Let's stand together.